Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to verse 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, unto God the judge of all, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Because you waited until we see the great light, until we turned aside to see the true life. If you did not wait, we would have been perished, O Lord. For the Lord is gracious, and for that reason you wait for all of us to walk with you humbly, for all of us to see the light, to receive the truth, to understand our purpose of existence, the true life that is living inside us, the living Word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace in our lives. And Lord, may you fill our hearts with peace. May you comfort us, because you are the healer. The Spirit of the Lord rest upon all of us, that we all may be healed physically, mentally, and spiritually, O Lord. Because, O Lord, you are a healer. Nothing is impossible for you, our dear Lord. Our Savior, our Master, our Prince of Life, the Root of David. Lord, may you bless us with the calmness, the quietness, the strength in silence, and the peace and the joy that you are in us and we are in you. And you surround us and we are the prisoners of Christ. And you are the solid rock and we drink the water of life. You are the sure foundation and we are the holy priesthood built upon that single, one and only foundation. Lord, we thank you that you called all of us unto saints and kings to thy kingdom. We are not worthy, O Lord, but Lord, we thank you for the love. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. And we bless your holy name that you have prepared a place for us. And you prepared this day for us. So Lord, we thank you. This is the day. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoiced and glad in it. Because, O Lord, there is no suffering, no sorrow, no pain, no loss can take us away from thy mighty hand. Because, O Lord, this life is nothing compared to the true life that we are all having right now in our life, in our spirit. Because, O Lord, we are the true worshippers of God. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Lord, we thank you for the promise. May you move in the midst of us. May you fill the house of the Lord with the mighty rushing wind. May you bless us with thy Spirit, with the fruits of the Holy Ghost, that we may overflow to be fruitful to thee, O Lord. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls, our past, our present, our future, everything unto thee, O Lord, because we are all here because of the everlasting love, the everlasting promise. So Lord, we thank you. May you sanctify the house of the Lord. May you sanctify our hearts. May you preserve our souls. And may you prepare the place for us to feast on the living word, for us to drink the new wine, for us to abide in the new covenant, for us to understand that we are all here for a purpose, and that purpose is always you, O Lord. You are our promised land. We are not going anywhere without you. So Lord, may you have mercy on us. May you shower thy teaching rain upon us. And may you take complete control of the gathering, because, O Lord, we are here. We gather here in Thy name, under the banner of Thy love. We thank You for everything. We commit everything into the mighty hands. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for the wonderful worship. We thank the Lord for moving in the midst of us. We started today's sermon with a very important verse from Hebrews chapter 12. The word of the Lord reminds us, the firstborn. The word firstborn is linked to the word church. And in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23 we read, the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Amen. Last Sunday, we meditated on the word children of the prophets and of the covenant. Amen. And now we read the verse church of the firstborn. The general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Not just thought, not just spoke. The Bible records it, which are written in heaven, the church of firstborn. May the Lord speak to our hearts as we continue to meditate on what is the spiritual manifestation in God's word concerning covenant and firstborn. The word firstborn is a very important aspect for the Lord Himself, all the way from Genesis. The word firstborn is very, very important, not just physically in the times of pharaohs, kings and patriarchs, but also spiritually in the times of seven church age. The word firstborn. The Bible reminds us, we are all created in Him, by Him, through Him, for Him. And how Jesus is called? He Himself is called the firstborn. Amen. So today, we will finish few verses in the book of Acts to establish the bridge for us to walk back to meet Aaron and Moses. Let's turn our Bibles to book of Acts. Last Sunday, we heard the word 5,000. Amen. Few months ago, the Lord spoke to us concerning the word 3,000. Peter spoke, 3,000 cut to the heart and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. God spoke, Moses went down to the valley and he killed 3,000 people in and out of the camp so that the wrath of God will not destroy the entire people of Israel, but just clean, purge, prune things that does not belong to God, so that God can have mercy upon the children of God. Moses killed 3,000, Peter baptized 3,000. So we had a sermon a few months ago. Last Sunday, the word 5,000, people believed what was spoken by Peter. Although Peter and John were arrested, although all the elders, the leaders of Israel, the rulers, everybody came upon them, and to hold on to them, to investigate them, to make them say something wrong, to instill fear into their heart. They were trying all the cunning thoughts. But irrespective of this little trial, there was a massive work for the Lord was done already. When we read the word, 5,000 people believed what Peter spoke. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. The baptism of 3,000 has a link between Moses and Peter. Amen. Now these 5,000 souls who believe in what Peter spoke, because Peter was simply distributing the bread of life. Amen. He was serving the bread of life. Those who ate, they believed. Now let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Brother Clement, can you read this for me? Verse 30 to 43. Mark chapter 6. Please read slowly. 30 to 43.
Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that we may go to the surrounding countries and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish.
So from 30 to 43, Jesus, the very first words spoken by Jesus, if you look very deeply, it's exactly what God told to Ezekiel in chapter 2, 3, 4. When he told Ezekiel, "Arise, go to the plain, and I shall speak with you there." Amen. And the watchman went to the plain according to what the Lord told him, and the glory of the Lord stood there and spoke with him. "Arise, go to the plain, and I shall speak with you there." What the Lord told to the watchman. "And the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet." The book of Ezekiel has a very important place in the timeline of prophetic revelation and also the fulfillment of the prophecies. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples and the people, let's read that verse, the very first verse that he spoke. He says, "Come ye yourselves." He says, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." We all know Sabbath is not a day, but Sabbath is a person, and our Lord is our rest. He is our eternal rest. Now, Jesus says, "Come ye yourselves." He says, "I'm not going to carry you. Deny yourself. Examine yourself. Do something on yourself, because I created you in my image, in my likeness. The Alpha and Omega." But when the Lord says, "Come ye yourselves, come," and he says, "Depart into a desert," or you can use this in two different ways. You move from one place to another place, so you depart. You separate yourself from one group to another group, you make yourself apart. You separate yourself to be called of his children. Amen. You know the word Almighty, it means setting himself apart from everything that are not holy. Setting himself apart from everything that are not his. That is the definition of why the Lord is called Almighty, Elohim, the self-sufficient one. He cannot dwell in the midst of unholy. He cannot make his presence to move in a place where his name is not glorified. That is why we read the verse, "The glory of the Lord will fill the earth. The mighty rushing wind filled the house where the apostles were sitting." Now, we wrote the word "depart" and we go on the other word "apart." Come apart,
deferred and no rest.
So this is the word, four-part word Jesus spoke to the disciples. And the next word that he spoke is verse 37, give ye them to eat. Amen. The next word that he spoke was, give ye them to eat. When Peter spoke, when people were baptized, the book of Acts tells us souls were added to them daily. Them. Now Jesus said, give ye them to eat. Now what Peter did, when Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, before he uttered the words of the crowd, the Spirit filled him before he served the bread of life to all who gathered, who ran to the Solomon's temple to listen to why they did such a miracle, the lame. So the lame was nothing but a trap for the souls to come and fall into the trap. That lame was the net that Peter and John cast into the sea. And that sea is nothing but the beautiful gate and the gate of Solomon, where all the people who are against, they ran to them, they just fell into the trap of the testimony of the lame. And Peter and John, they were waiting for all the fish come and find shelter in the net before they cast them. And here we see there are three numbers mentioned. 5, 2 and 12. Did you notice? There are three numbers mentioned. 5 plus 2 containing food, and but they reaped 12 baskets of leftover, of the food. Now, when Jesus spoke to them, come ye, them, give them something to eat. Come, give them to eat. Now, verse 44 says, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen? They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. If you read the same verse to book of Acts, they that eat the food served by Peter were about 5,000 men. Let's read that verse, how the word was mentioned concerning those 5,000. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Many of them which heard the word believed. Amen. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Did you notice something very specific? It does not mention number of people. It does not mention number of men and women. It does not say number of those crowd. It's very specific to the point the word men was explicitly mentioned in both the chapters. Mark 6, Acts 4. In other words, Mark chapter 6, verse 44. And 44, remember this, 4:4. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Many who believed the word when they heard, who believed, they were about 5,000 men. And now let's look at these 5 plus 2 plus 12, which is in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And then he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and break the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Could be 1 fish, right? Could be 3. Could be 4. But why exactly 2? Few Sundays ago, we focused on the importance of the word 2 and 3. Holy, 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 woe, woe, woe. The Lord spoke concerning things 3 times. Certain things he only spoke twice. Lord, Lord, Martha, Martha, Saul, Saul, Abraham, Abraham. 2 witnesses in the book of Revelation. In the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah 2. Aaron, Moses 2. Elisha, Elijah 2. Moses, Joshua 2. And when the Lord Jesus Christ called his disciples, he said, I will make you the fishers of men. Amen? You will catch people instead of fish. Peter simply went, took the net, which is nothing but the lame, set him up, healed him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and told him, silver and gold I have none, but I will heal you in the name of Jesus, because he says, I want you to be the net I'm going to throw. And after he healed, the lame held Peter and John, the lame held the church, tells the church, I won't leave you. The Lord blessed me, the Lord saved me, the Lord released me, the Lord delivered me, and the Lord redeemed me. I'm not going to leave you. He held Peter and John. That sincerity spoke louder when the multitude gathered against Peter and John, surrounded them like a wall of fire, not in the godly way but in the ungodly way. Still, they could not lay their hands upon Peter and John, because the Bible says very clearly the testimony of the lame was speaking louder, to the extent that all those people against Peter and John, they could not do anything against Peter and John just because of that powerful testimony. And not just that, to add on to them, the 5,000 people, not people, men, I repeat, men, there were about 5,000 men who believed in what Peter said. Believe means you come yourself, you separated yourself, you go to the plain, and the Lord gives you the bread of life, and you eat. When you hear, you receive. My sheep hear my voice. Peter was not speaking. Peter was just a mouth. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. My sheep hear my voice. And 5,000 sheep heard his voice. But look at the difference. If those 5,000 people in the New Testament, before Jesus resurrected, before Jesus opened the gates of salvation, eternal life, if those 5,000 people believed what Jesus said, if they were able to receive the loaves and they ate, when Jesus was crucified, when the man who was in charge of making the decision, crucifixion, when he said, I will give you someone else, can we release this innocent man? But what people said? No, crucify him, we want him to be killed. Jesus was preaching parables, sermons in multitudes, in mountains. 6,000, 5,000 people listened to them, listened to him. What happened to those people? Where were those people when Jesus was on the Calvary? All those multitudes, thousands. We think about the one single Peter who denied Christ 3 times. But what happened to those thousands of people who witnessed Jesus Christ's healing powers, who saw the signs and wonders, who listened to his preaching? Where are those thousands of multitudes who were with Jesus when he was preaching in the green pastures on the mountain? They listened to him. They were so glad to see all the miracles, healing. But what happened to them? Where were those people when Jesus truly needed them? Remember, the first miracle Jesus performed was in a marriage, amen, a wedding. He told them, fill the water pot with water, and the water was served as a new wine in the feast, amen. Before Jesus Christ died on the cross, he asked for water. Remember, but what was given to him? Vinegar? Something very sour? In the first wedding, the first miracle, he transformed water into wine so that people can feast, people can enjoy, people can have what they needed. But when he truly needed a cup of glass of water, what was given to him was nothing but vinegar. But now I'm asking you, can Jesus simply take that cup of vinegar and just, he can transform it into water, right? Who is going to stop him? Who will stop him? He did that miracle even before his time come. He told the woman, my time is not yet. But still, he just did the miracle just like that. Now he's on the cross, asking the same people to whom he said, fill the water pots of stone with water. He still asked them, I want water, can you give me water? But what they gave him was vinegar, something that cannot be drinkable, that is not pleasing to drink. But did he change that vinegar to water? Or did he change it to wine? No. If he had done that, then there is a hole in the sacrificial love. there is something not complete in the Calvary. He let all things to go according to the perfect will of God. He was rejected, he was stripped, he was smitten, he was hurt, he was insulted, they spat on him, they tortured him, they killed him. By these stripes and wounds we are all healed. Amen. Our Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who can do anything, he could have changed that single glass of vinegar to water and drank it, has some comfort before his death, but he did not. He accepted what was given to him. Is it a coincidence the very first miracle of Jesus was turning water into wine? What is the first plague God allowed? What is the first plague? The plague of blood. The very first plague the Lord hit Egypt was blood. So now, 5,000 people, they received the loaves, physical, something to eat, because they came for a convention, listening to Jesus speaking, they were so hungry, and the Lord did a miracle so that everybody can receive what the physical food. They were filled with something that is important for their little life on the earth. That's exactly why they could not stand for Jesus when he was sent for crucifixion. But in the time of Peter, it's totally different. He was not serving them the bread that you need to live on this earth. He was speaking the words of life. Those who heard, they believed. And this time, not that 5,000 people who died, but these 5,000 people who died to sin, and they are resurrected to live with Christ. 3,000, 3,000, 5,000, 5,000. No number in the Bible is a coincidence. Amen. Now we will go deeper concerning what God did to Pharaoh in Exodus. Let's read one more verse in the book of Acts to complete what happened to Peter and John before we go back to Exodus. Last Sunday we finished verse 17. But that chapter 4 verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. My brethren, the very first speaking of the Spirit through Apostle Peter, the very first speech, people were pricked, they cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and apostles a very strong question: what shall we do? Amen. Do you see the same attitude in these people? But this time they are thinking, what can we do to them, against them? But those 3,000 who were baptized, they asked Peter, please tell us, what can we do? Because we don't know what to do. Whatever he spoke, something happened to our heart. Our heart is pierced. Can you please tell us what to do? They put themselves on the ground, completely humbled, humiliated by what Peter spoke, and they asked Peter what we should do. But this time, what these people are doing, they were talking among themselves what we can do. What we can do, to the extent that Peter and John will not use the name of Jesus. They won't go around and do such a strong miracle, which we can't do anything, because for them it is notable. The word says notable, filled with wonder, filled with amazement. Notable miracle is not good for those people who are against Christ. But this time they also wanted to do something, but against Peter and John. But that time they wanted to do something, but exactly what Peter told them to do. Now, he says, they speak henceforth to no man in this name. No man. Jesus spoke, there were about 5,000 men received the bread. Peter spoke, and there were about 5,000 men believed the word. And what these people are thinking, no man, not even one, should listen to Peter's, what Peter speak. Not even one should hear the name of Jesus. They were hitting the number one, and God was, you know, scoring in 5,000s on the other side. The next few verses are very important. The next four verses, from verse 18. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They command who? Peter and John. Do you remember how Peter addressed the crowd? You see how Peter was so wise in spirit. He addressed them by calling them. Verse 8, the same chapter, verse 8, chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people. Amen. He's telling them,
Look very carefully. Peter is setting himself apart. He is departing from a particular group which doesn't belong to God. He identifies himself as he belongs to God. He says, ye rulers of the people. And he says, and the elders of Israel. He did not call them my men and brethren. He did not call them my Israel, my children of Israel. He didn't call them. He says, rulers of the people, elders of the Israel, enemies of Israel, king of Egypt who ruled people of Israel. That doesn't mean that you are Israel. Enemies who are chasing God's children, that doesn't mean that they are God's children. Amen? Peter was very wise in how he addressed them. Which means, he tells them, you have no power over me. You can't command me. Your command on me does not exist. It doesn't valid. He told this even before they commanded him in verse 18. Because you can only command those who are submissive to you. Amen? You can only command to those who are subject to you. Subject to your authority. But Peter does not subject to their authority. He told them already the very first moment when he spoke, but they could not listen. And they say, they command him. They call them. Jesus called the disciples and he gave a command to them. Come, eat, depart, apart, go to the desert and rest. He gave a command and the disciples, they followed. And these people, they called Peter and John and they tell them, they commanded them not to speak at all. You are not allowed to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. Do whatever you want. Teach whatever you want. Do whatever you want. But do not do anything in the name of Jesus. They were not against Peter and John. They were not against the miracle. For them it's fine. Whatever happens, as long as it does not disturb their seat of power, as long as it does not hurt their pride, the ego, they're fine. They don't care. You can worship any God, do whatever you want. But for them, they are the rulers of the people, elders of Israel. For them, they do not want to lose their power. For them, it was all about darkness. What was the ninth plague God commanded? Darkness. You will go there. Now, verse 19, here Peter and John still talking together as one. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. He tells them, he didn't say I cannot, he says we cannot. John says, I represent Peter. Peter says, I represent John, because we are one church. God is in us, two or more, two gathered in his name. Bind whatever they bind will be bound. Lose whatever they lose will be loser. And Peter and John say, we cannot. Whatever you say, we are not going to do it. So, if they refuse the order from a leader, he could get killed. Isn't it? They could kill them on the same place. They can say, you spoke something disrespectful to the rulers, to the elders. They can stone them to death. But you see what happens here. He says, whatever we have seen and heard, we cannot, but we will speak. The 5,000 men, they believed because they heard, they saw. Now, verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, so they tried a lot, they let them go. What? You tried everything, they still refused, they still stood firm. So technically, you are a group of people surrounded them, but still they were in the midst of you, and they were speaking against you. They were holding their foot, still they let them go. And they say, finding nothing, how they might punish them. Do you remember what Pontius Pilate told to the people? I can't find anything to crucify him. I can't find anything to justify my decision. I'm going to wash my hand. His wife told, I had a dream. This man is innocent, don't do any harm to him. He told the people three times, are you sure, are you sure? People said, we are sure. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Now, these people, they can't find anything. Actually, they have everything. Peter and John, they said, we won't obey you. We are not subject to your command. Because they were actually giving them all the reasons to do anything against them. Remember, Stephen was killed just because he said, I saw Jesus on the cloud. That's what he said. They stoned him to death. But what Peter is thinking here is even more against. those rulers, but they could not do anything until the Lord allows something happens to these children. Nothing will fall upon them until the Lord allows. No matter the entire world come against one person, if the Lord does not want a single hair to fall from him, no one can do anything against them. He will confound them, confuse them. But if the Lord decided that something will be permitted upon the life of his children, his servants, no one can stop that also. Now, verse 21 says, they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, that is exactly where they are coming at. They could not find anything to punish them, not because of those two, not because of what they spoke, because they didn't speak anything sugar-coated for them. They were speaking against the rulers of the people. But because of the people, they could not do anything against Peter and John. You have to understand the power of testimony God is very, very particular about in our lives. Those people were the walls of fire surrounding Peter and John at that point of time. In the midst of them, God's glory was in Peter and John. But God was surrounding them with his people. The people thought one person got healed, so they are outnumbered. But there were 5,000 men who believed what Peter said. And they were also surrounding them like a wall of fire. And Peter and John, they were standing in the midst, harmless. Because nobody can do anything against them. Now, the rulers say, I can't find anything to punish them. He didn't stop there. If he stopped there, it is different. He said, because of the people. That completes the calling of Peter and John. That completes what happened in the beautiful gate. Because of the people. We started the sermon with the word church of the firstborn. Amen. Of the firstborn. We are born of spirit. Amen. So now, let's read, continue this. For all men glorified God for that which was done. 5,001 men, including Peter and John. 5,003. Can we say that? So do you see? Two or more. Peter and John on top of that lame. That lame fulfills the word more. Two or more. Fine. But God also surrounded an army of 5,000 men who believe what Peter said. And these 5,000 men are not those who were seeking the loaves, who feel very hungry when Jesus was preaching. The Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, by the word of the Lord. Amen? But still those people needed the bread because they will die. Because they were filled with unbelief. So Jesus had to give them the loaves. Okay, eat and live to the life that you want. What Peter said, you had the Prince of Life, but you desire for the murderer to be granted unto you. Jesus was preaching words of life, but you desire for the loaves to be granted unto you. And what they desired was given to them. Loaves. What they simply refused Jesus, betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus, like all the other people who told them, crucify him, crucify him. That's exactly why those 5,000 did not exist in the time of Calvary, because they were not on the Lord's side. They were against the Lord's side. But these 5,000 are different. They are new. Filled with new covenant. The rulers of the people, remember, Peter said, ye rulers of the people. And why the rulers let them go? Because of the people. Do you see what's happening here? The Lord said, he will turn father against son, son against father, brother against sister. The Lord says, he will turn against each other, right? To confirm them. So now, let's say I am the ruler of 1,000 people. And I say, do you know who I am? I am the ruler of these 1,000 people. And Peter comes and says, oh nice, let me go and speak to them. And he speaks to them. And among the 1,000, they all believe what Peter said. And Peter comes and says, ye ruler of the people. What do you mean by people? The people does not exist. All those people, they belong to God's children already. Now this ruler has no power on them. Now this ruler, without even understanding the revelation, he says, we can't find anything against them. Because of the people, but they are called rulers of the people. Ideally, you should be able to find everything to kill them because of the people, if those people are on your side. Isn't it? If you think that you have an army, you can go against for a battle, isn't it? But if you think that army itself turned against you, or you don't even feel, you are confounded. Am I truly the ruler of the people? am I truly in charge of the people? Because now, because of the people, I can't find anything against them to punish them, so I have to let go. The very same strength, the very same confidence, the very same gift, whatever we have in our life, that makes you to think that you are the ruler of your life, and that very same thing, the Lord will make it to turn against you. And you will say, I can't find anything to hold on to my pride, my ego, because of what I was believing before, that I am the ruler. Because that very thing was taken away from me when the Lord spoke. Circumcision. Peter said, rulers of the people. And the ruler said, we can't do anything. Release them because of the people. Now they are nothing but rulers. The word people has been removed. Rulers of what? Rulers of themselves. If you say, I am the master of 1,000 people, and when the 1,000 is taken away, you can say, no, I don't want my title to be taken. That title is everything to me. So what people do? I am the master of myself. The Lord will say, that is too much power against me. I can't do anything. Because you are holding on to free will. But remember, even in denominations or different churches, all there are different churches, different false prophets. There is always a faithful child in the church. And for that reason, the Lord will keep them until He will complete the grace period in their lives. And even the false prophet, even the pastors, ministers, even the churches who are completely doing things against God for money, for fame, for reputation, for power, for spiritual wickedness of high places, God will still look at the flock. The faith of the people inside the church who cannot discern between the right and left. That is called mercy. The Lord wants us to embrace that mercy. Because if these people did not listen to what Peter spoke, they would have been still the rulers of the people, to be subject to the rulers. But the Lord came and delivered them. The 5,000 people believed what Peter spoke. And because of the reason, Peter and John were released. Now you see, because of the lame, Peter and John were arrested. Amen? Now because of the lame, Peter and John were released. Do you see that? Yes. Peter and John were arrested because of the healing of the lame. Because of the healing of the lame, all the multitudes came to Peter. And Peter gave them loaves. And people ate. They heard and they believed. And because of that, those 5,000 became an army against the rulers. And the rulers were scared of them and they let Peter and John go. But if you look very deeply, the lame was healed. The lame held Peter and John. And because of the lame, 5,000 people were saved. And because of that, Peter and John were released. God used the lame for them to be arrested. God used the lame for them to be released. God used the dry land to save the people of Israel. God used the dry land to destroy those who were against Him. Now this 5,000, may we keep it in our mind. Now, we leave Peter and John there because now at least their lives are in a better state. They are released, not for long. No, they will be arrested very soon. But now, let's turn our books to Book of Exodus. After months, we are going to visit Aaron and Moses. Oh yes. Think, before we read, I want all of us to remember the maps. Where Egypt is located. Where is Red Sea? Where is Dead Sea? Where is Sea of Galilee? Where is Jerusalem? Where is Bethsaida, the pool of Bethsaida? And where is Judea, Samaria? We may think, oh, it's all places, you know, it exists there. No. It's not like that. In the Old Testament, the journey the Lord allowed them is a distance. Amen? How long Abraham walked? How long Moses walked? How long the Lord had to make them walk in circles in the wilderness for 40 years? The land was a very important ground. Like the desert, what Jesus said. Like the plain, what God told the watchman. It was a land. But in the New Testament, the land is seen spiritually. And the Lord says, the righteousness will remain in his fruitful field. Amen? So, let me go through the maps first before we start reading Book of Exodus. Amen? By God's grace, I was able to find a very easy way to remember the location. And that way is actually even more beautiful. Let's spend a few minutes to fix all the locations in our mind so that when we read Book of Exodus, we understand what is happening and where is happening. Amen? The land is very important. Now, Egypt is located here. And this is the river of Nile, and this is Red Sea. Jerusalem is here, Canaan is here, Damascus is here. Amen? When you read the word Damascus, you should remember Saul, the conversion of Saul into Paul. Okay? So now, the Arabian desert, all the Middle East countries are here, and Babylon, Ur, we should remember what happened to Abraham when the Lord called him, from Ur all the way to Haran, and from Haran he went downwards. Okay? Now, Jerusalem is here, Canaan is here. Now zoom in, brother. There is a beautiful way to remember this map. I will get there slowly. There are two important leaders in the Old Testament. One is Abraham, amen? And one is Moses. Moses was walking with multitudes of crowd. Abraham was walking just like that, with his very own family. But actually, both they have same equal significance, okay? So let's remember the name Abraham, you just go A. And let's remember the name Moses, you just go M, correct? M for Moses, A for Abraham. Easiest way to remember the entire map, I'll tell you. Abraham started his journey from Ur. He went to Haran. Then he came to Canaan, right? Moses is here, E, Egypt. And we know the Red Sea is here. Then you are released into the wilderness. Now, remember this M and A. Now you look at the map. You won't forget this anymore. You see the shape of Red Sea? It looks exactly like the word M. Because it is easy for you to remember. So when you read the Bible, right, your mind will already process where this is happening, what's happening. You see the Red Sea is actually the same word as M. So Egypt is on the left side. On the right side, you have the wilderness. At the center, what we know what happened, you know, the small crossing happened, Red Sea crossing. And on top of Red Sea, you have Dead Sea, then you have Sea of Galilee, then you have Pool of Bethesda. It actually goes up. Okay? The connection between Yam and A, you will have all the important events. Red Sea, Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, and Pool of Bethesda. We will only focus on these three places. Egypt is on the other side. So all the 10 plagues happened on the other side. Okay? But in the wilderness, people were also plagued by the Lord Himself. Now, let's go a bit deeper. Ur is here, as I said here, the bottom of the name A. And Abraham walked up all the way to Haran. And from Haran, he went up to Canaan. Amen? So you can see the letter A is beautifully completed. And now Moses is here. He was found by the daughter of Pharaoh in the river. Amen? Then she named him. He was there for 40 years. Moses' life is 40. First 40 in the palace. Second 40 in the wilderness, in the Midian, as a son-in-law, as a father, a stranger in a stranger land. And the last 40 with the Lord. 1/3 of Moses' life was with God. 1/3, exactly 1/3 of Moses' life was with God on the wilderness. And that happened only after he started the ministry for God when the Lord met him in the burning bush. Now, Egypt, Red Sea, Hebron. Now, let's focus on what we read in the last 4 weeks in the book of Acts. Judea, Samaria, Galilee. Amen? The people who walked into the crowd-addressing event of Peter, they called them ye men of Galilee. Remember? So Galilee, Samaria and Judea. Now you see the Dead Sea is here. This is the Dead Sea. And here the Sea of Galilee is here. And this is the River of Jordan. Right? So we are focusing on the maps of the New Testament. So, if you compare, the life of Moses started here, crossed the Red Sea, and he was in the wilderness. The Lord buried his body that no one can find. Do not forget that. When Moses died, God himself buried his body that no one can find. And the life of Abraham, it was a journey, nothing but the walk from Ur to Haran and Haran to Canaan. But in the New Testament, all that we read here is actually happening around this slope of the walk of Abraham from the place of Haran to Canaan. Now, the place like I'm zooming is here, right? It's here. Bethsaida is here. Capernaum is here. Now you see, Sea of Galilee, the River of Jordan, and Samaria is here, and this is Upper Galilee. So, whatever we read in the book of Acts, we know it's all happening around this region. Amen? Until Paul came and took it outside, and he started journeying to different places, you know, through ship on the sea. All the journey that we see here, Moses, Abraham, was on the land. except Moses who crossed the sea, but that too was on the dry land. Saul was the only one, the Paul, Apostle Paul, who started journeying across the land through the ship, through the water. Now, the map that we just saw, I applied the current or the modern day map of the world. We know the Israel-Gaza news, we know where the West Bank is located. Jordan is here, West Bank is here, Israel is here, and you see Sea of Galilee is here, Bethsaida is here, and we saw three maps. One, the Old Testament book of Exodus, then book of Acts, and then approximately the modern map that we see today, in today's life. West Bank, Jordan, Lebanon, Israel. It's all, you know, on that region, around that land. So now let's remember this. We are going to study the word of the Lord in the book of Acts. What's happening here? Why? Aaron and Moses are told by the Lord to go and talk to Pharaoh. Amen? So they are going to talk to Pharaoh. We finished up to chapter 4 in the book of Exodus. Let's go to chapter 5. Some words spoken by Pharaoh to Aaron and Moses, surprisingly, it looks very similar to how God speaks to his children. Pharaoh is going to speak with Aaron and Moses. Remember where we left when we finished the fourth chapter in Exodus. Aaron and Moses, they went to the people of Israel, and Aaron spoke whatever the Lord put in the mouth of Moses, Aaron spoke, and they performed some signs and wonders, and people of Israel, they believed and they worshipped the Lord. Amen. After this, Aaron and Moses are going to speak to Pharaoh. So Brother Clement, can you please help you read from verse 1 to 5?
Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "First said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Please, let us go 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, that he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor."
Amen. Thank you, brother. The very first few words Pharaoh spoke to Aaron and Moses, because Pharaoh, similar to the rulers of the people, rulers of Israel, Pharaoh has a responsibility. He is a king. Do not forget. The slavery began just because there arose a king who did not know Joseph. That was a sermon that we started in the book of Acts, book of Exodus. The slavery began just because there was a Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph. Do not forget, this is not the same Pharaoh. When Moses became a father, he told, I have become a stranger in the stranger land. Immediately in the same verse we read, the king of Egypt died. The Pharaoh died. There were different Pharaohs during the 80 years, no exile. And this Pharaoh is someone, but still he did not know who is Joseph. Same as the rulers who do not know who is Jesus. Now Aaron and Moses, they were told by the Lord to go and talk to Pharaoh. Because God is telling Aaron and Moses, he is in charge of my children because they have not accepted me, that they are in slavery. You go and deliver them from his hand and deliver them into my hand, so that I can purge them, prune them, wash them, clean them, punish them, do whatever I need, so that I can take out a generation who will walk into my promised land. So the Lord wanted those two vessels to go and deliver that claim from the hands of Pharaoh, to move that claim into the beautiful gate where God can perfect them. But let's focus on the words very carefully. When Aaron and Moses spoke to Pharaoh, the word that they used was, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel." Amen? They started by saying, it is not we speaking. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Who is speaking? Aaron. Remember, God called Aaron to be the spokesperson for Moses. But God told Moses, you will be as God to Aaron, you will put the words in his mouth. The same way Peter and John were not able to be separated in the book of Acts, you could see Moses and Aaron, they are bound. But actually, Aaron is the one who is speaking. Because Moses told the Lord, I am not eloquent, I can't speak. And God said, okay, I am very angry with you. Aaron, you speak for him. Amen? Now, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? And the rulers of the people, they asked Peter and John, by whose name that you heal this lame? Who is your Lord? What is the name? Who gave you the power and authority to heal him? And Pharaoh is asking Aaron and Moses, who is the Lord? Because he did not know. He is not lying. There was a king who arose who did not know Joseph. And that did not know Joseph. Lack of understanding and veil that cannot see the truth. It is being passed from the generation. And this Pharaoh is nowhere different than the previous Pharaoh. Actually, they are getting even more worse and violent. Do you know why the Lord allowed the name of Pharaoh to be mentioned as Pharaoh throughout the Old Testament? He could have mentioned Pharaoh the king 2 or 3. He could have mentioned the names very clearly. But to God, the name Pharaoh represents a generation of people who were against God's children, whom God used to teach and punish his children. They are simply called Pharaoh. It's like a general name, rulers of the people. You don't even have to know the name of the ruler. They are called the rulers of the people. Pharaoh, the name Pharaoh, it remains the same. Well, there is only one Pharaoh, we don't forget, who was so gracious and merciful to Joseph, who raised Joseph to be next to him to rule the land, because Joseph was the vessel God used to save all the people from the famine. And for that reason, people of Israel were also saved by Joseph. But that Pharaoh, he died. After that, 400 years of later, you could see a new generation of Pharaoh. The old man died, and there is a new man who is the same as the enemies of God. But now, I want you all to keep a positive understanding of the name Pharaoh, so that we will read the verses in a positive understanding. I mean, in creative understanding. When I say creative, God's word is life. It creates. It speaks life to us. Amen? Pharaoh did not say anything wrong. You see very carefully. He says, who is the Lord? Because he don't know. And he's asking them, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Because he did not know the Lord. Jesus says, only my sheep hear my voice. Pharaoh is not a sheep. He can't hear his voice. How can I obey his voice? And he says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And do not forget, God told all these things before it come to pass to Moses. Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. He won't let him go, not by a mighty hand. So the mighty hand of God must be fulfilled in the lives of Pharaoh. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go. But when Aaron was speaking with the people of Israel, he told them, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Amen. Because God told him to go and tell them, I am the God of their forefathers. No? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But here, Aaron and Moses speaking, Aaron is speaking, say, God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens. Pharaoh says, these people are working. Why are you disturbing them? If they don't work, I won't give them food. If you tell them not to work and go do something with you, go and face your own cross. Go and carry your own burden. But Aaron and Moses are saying, I want these people to go with me so that we can go and have a feast for the Lord, to sacrifice to the Lord. But Pharaoh said, they are working. Do not disturb them. In the New Testament, do not forget, there is a beautiful verse. If one does not work, do not put the food on the table. Amen? God wants all of us to work because we are the fellow workers of God. There are two sides. The way Pharaoh is looking at people of Israel, it is the same way God is also looking at them spiritually on the other side in the wilderness, but there is a difference. There is a difference. Let's see. Pharaoh says, let the people from the works get unto your burden. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burden. What? Pharaoh says, do not give them rest from their burden because they are working. Well, what Jesus said? Come. Set yourself apart. Go to the desert. And so that they will find rest. Amen? And we know burdens are lifted at Calvary. We know the words of like what the Lord is telling. But do we understand what burden it is? Here, Pharaoh is looking at them as a slave. They must work to get the food. He could have killed all of them, right? He did not kill all of them. Hitler tried all his best to kill all the Jews in the Holocaust. But Pharaoh did not kill them. He tortured them, burdened them with slavery, and you know, he made them to pay for what they did because God allowed this to happen. Amen? God allowed this to happen. Now, when Pharaoh spoke this, verse 6 to 14, Brother Clement, please read. Verse 6 to 14.
So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it. And let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and the officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself straw where you can find it. Yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota as when they were straw. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before?
Amen. So the discussion of Aaron and Moses, it did not do any good to the people of Israel, but rather it added the burden unto them. And not just that, Pharaoh even imposed some strong restrictions on that. And the last verse is so beautiful, verse 13 and 14. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works. And we say, the Lord says, I call David after a man after my own heart, because he fulfilled all my will. Amen. And those taskmasters, even when Moses led the people of Israel in the wilderness, he set elders to rule the people of Israel so that he can manage them. Do not forget the advice that the father-in-law gave to Moses. Moses, you can't do this alone. You have to heed to what I say. Set people to rule over them so that you can focus on what you're supposed to do. Pharaoh didn't do anything wrong. He's actually doing what he was supposed to do as a man who cannot see, as a ruler who is not revealed to truth, as a king who was set there to perform things that were to be done against God's children. But whatever he speaks, you can see spiritually in a correct way in the New Testament. Taskmasters set upon them to hasten them and say, fulfill your works. There is a task given to you, fulfill it. Do not be deviated. But not just that. He says, and the officers of the children of Israel are not the children of Israel. Do you understand? Officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, therefore, have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and to today and to heretofore? Do you see something here? The Lord is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. His perfect will is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. But Pharaoh is talking everything in terms of bricks. Why exactly it needs to be brick? It could be anything else. It is all compared to a brick, stone. Pharaoh is telling the people of Israel, go and make the bricks and build something for me. God calls all of us, you are the lively stone, built upon the lively stone, and you are my royal priesthood, spiritually built upon the chief cornerstone. The Lord is building something, a new holy city, Jerusalem. He is the builder and maker of the city. He is building a mansion for us. Pharaoh is also building something. but keeping people as slaves, beating them, demanding them, and they are making bricks. As we all call ourselves, Lord, I am a part of your word. You are a lively stone, I am a small stone, part of that word. Do not forget, when people stoned Stephen to death, there were many stones thrown at him. Stephen threw one single stone at them, and they all died. And that stone was our solid rock, our Savior, Jesus Christ, when he told the Lord, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and charge them not this for the sin. That stone killed all those who stoned to him to death. So if you read spiritually, Stephen stoned them to death, in sin, to live in him. They did not stone Stephen to death. Stephen stoned them to death with a single stone, the only one Savior. And now, Pharaoh is telling the people of Israel, go and make the brick. Not the brick, go and make it. Do whatever you want to do. The Lord is telling the same thing. Deny yourself, follow the ark, carry your cross, do your job. Examine yourself, deny yourself, do your job. Pharaoh is telling, they are doing their work, go and do your burden. But it is all done in a different context, with a different intent. What is missing is, do you see what is missing? L-O-V-E. Pharaoh did not love the people of Israel. There is no love in whatever we read from verse 1 all the way to verse 14. That is the only thing missing. If you read the same verse in other way, that Pharaoh loved the children of Israel, you will see the same verse differently, as if God is speaking to them in the same way in the whole Bible. Now let's continue. Verse 15 to 18, I read. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh. Aaron and Moses cried unto the Lord for the people of Israel. Amen. Officers cried unto Pharaoh. The Lord says, you can serve only one master. The world or the mammon or God himself. And when they cried unto Pharaoh saying, wherefore dealest thou that which thy servant? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they said to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Ye are idle. Therefore he said, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work. For there shall no straw be given you, and yet shall deliver the tale of bricks. Make them busy. Don't be idle. We say, idle mind is devil's workshop. And Pharaoh says, do not make them to be idle, or else they will become God's workshop. If you make them idle, they will believe, oh, Aaron Moses visited us, something relaxing, you know, something good happening in my life. I feel some rest, I feel some good, my health is improving, which means God is in them, let's go and follow them. But Pharaoh wants to set a bad example of Aaron Moses. Instead of giving them relaxation, comfort, he's adding the burden so that they won't be idle, they won't rest in the Lord, but rather they will suffer in the burden to forget the Lord, to focus on Pharaoh's punishment. Pharaoh was trying to put a veil on their eyes because he don't want them to be idle, to become God's workshop. He do not want God to work in them, but rather he wants to work in them. Now, the whole sermon we started with the word Church of the Firstborn. Amen? That is the main theme for us today. Church of the Firstborn. Exodus chapter 4, let's read what the Lord told to Moses. One chapter before, because this is like a prophetical saying of God, right? God told this already. Chapter 4, verse 22. Chapter 4, verse 22. The Lord says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. The Lord says, Israel is singular. He did not say Israel or my children. That is the reason why the name of Jacob was changed to Israel. That is the reason why God took that name from a single person, so that he can maintain the unity, the singularity throughout the Bible. Jacob's name was called Israel. 1,000 years later, when you say Israel, you will remember a country, a land, or a set of people. But God says, Israel is my son. Amen? Is. And not just that, even my firstborn. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, we read in verse 23-24, Church of firstborn. And the Lord says, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, he says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. Don't you forget that Jeshurun was the firstborn of Moses. Amen. She circumcised the son who is the firstborn to Moses. And God told Moses, "You are as God to Aaron." And now the firstborn of Moses is circumcised. And that blood, when you circumcise in the Old Testament, that is the blood. Now you see, and she took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely, a bloody husband art thou to me." And he let him go. And she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and he met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. God told Moses, "I want my firstborn to be released. If the Pharaoh did not do that, I will kill his firstborn." He said that, "I will kill his firstborn." Spoken by God. The very first plague was linked to blood. Amen. The very last plague was linked to firstborn. Amen. There were 10 plagues, like 10 commandments. 10. 10 represents completion. God gave 10 commandments to his children, and he gave 10 plagues to those who were against him. And in those 10, I have highlighted 3 keywords which we have to be very careful of. The first one is blood, turning water into blood. Something transparent into a color of blood. The last one, firstborn. In the middle, there is one more boils, a plague of boils. And the rest of the plagues are concerning something, a creation of God. Frogs, flies, livestock, locusts, and something rain from the heaven, the clouds. Out of 10 plagues, one is linked to killing of firstborn, one linked to turning water into blood. The very first miracle Jesus performed, what? Turning the water into wine. Amen? Although his time didn't come. But he still filled the water pot of stone, 6, with water, and the water was served. Tasted by the ruler of the feast, not by the ruler of the people. Ruler of the feast tasted that water made to wine. And they served them. And this miracle was also performed by God through his servants Aaron and Moses throughout the nation, all changed to blood. The last one, God had to kill the firstborn of the Pharaoh so that he can get things done in his way. Jesus is called the firstborn. Amen. Jesus is called the firstborn. Adam and Eve, when they were created by God, there was no sin. But when the deception entered, when the sin entered, death entered. Then the Lord threw them away from the Garden of Eden. Along with the serpent which was cursed. And God told Aaron, "Throw the rod, it will turn to serpent." And God told Moses, "Catch it by the tail and it will turn back to rod." We will go there later, next week. But now I want you all to remember these 3 words. Blood and firstborn. But there is one more. The 9th plague was darkness. Amen. Darkness, veil, lack of understanding, utter darkness, cannot see light. Those who dwell in the darkness, not in the light. Firstborn is the last plague what the Lord had to do to bring the people to cross the Red Sea. Amen. So now, these 3 words, blood, darkness, firstborn. I pray that we keep these 3 words in our heart. Blood, darkness, firstborn. Blood of Jesus, darkness, unveiling the darkness and go into the light, because the firstborn, the only sacrifice, only atonement, only covenant, only offering, who call us the church of the firstborn. Amen. So now let's remember this. Let's read Numbers chapter 3 verse 13. Numbers chapter 3 verse 13. May the Lord speak to our hearts concerning the word that he spoke to Aaron and Moses. Chapter 3 verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses. I read from verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn, that openeth that matrix among the children of Israel, therefore the Levite shall be mine. Amen. He says, I separated the firstborn, therefore they shall be mine. You see the possessiveness of the sense of belonging the Lord is bringing to the table. He says, they are mine. I will separate them from the firstborn, they are mine. He says, because all the firstborn are mine. The Lord says, I will not yield my glory to anyone. And he says, all the firstborn are mine. Moses survived what was going on at the time when the king told, kill all the male children. But Moses survived in the river taken up by the very same daughter of the Pharaoh. Now, you read this, and the Lord says, they are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be. I am the Lord. How many times the Lord said, mine, mine, mine. My sheep hear my voice. When the Lord says, mine, mine, you see, he is very, very possessive concerning things that belong to him. Not in the wrong way, but in the beautiful way of his agape love. That's why the Lord says, he knoweth who stand on the foundation by knowing them that they are him. They are his. They belong to him. Now, this is the word firstborn, right? When Jesus performed the miracle, he said, bring the water pot of stone and fill them with the water, right? Now, let's remember the word blood. That is the very first plague God sent in the midst of the people of Egypt. Amen. I want us to focus on a few verses concerning the blood before we continue on firstborn. Let's read this. The first plague, blood, is in Exodus chapter 5. Do not forget the word, the water pots of stone. And now let's read Exodus. Let's read this. Chapter 7, verse 15. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Against he come, river's brink. Against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is mine. I repeat, I will smite with the rod that is mine, hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the water the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon the rivers, and upon the ponds, and upon all the pools of water, not any, all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in, read this very carefully, the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. The vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. God told Moses to make a vessel for him to tabernacle, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant, made of wood, threaded by gold. What is inside we know. It was nothing but a piece of wood. But in the New Testament, the solid rock, the fountain of life, the chief cornerstone, the precious lively stone, we are built upon him. The vessels of stone built upon the chief cornerstone, and the Lord told the disciples, fill the water pots with water. And now here we read, fill everything, change all water to blood. When Noah was survived from the flood, God put them in a piece of wood, shut them. But the whole earth was covered by water. If God told Noah, touch the water, strike the water, the entire earth will be covered by what? Blood. Amen? If the whole earth was covered by water, if the water was changed to blood, then the whole earth would be covered by blood. When the Lord said, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, whole earth will be filled by His glory. Amen? Whole earth. And what happened in Egypt was just a prefiguration. When the Lord says, this unclean land, this unholy land, the Lord will wash us with His blood and He will make us to be the place where He can come and dwell in us. Water turned to wine, water turned to blood, and not just that, my brethren, the fish died. Don't you remember, we were all dead in sin. The Lord made us to be dead to sin, to be alive in Him. 3,000 people were killed by Moses. 3,000 were baptized by Peter. 3,000 took the loaves, betrayed Jesus. 5,000. 5,000 believed Peter and they made Peter to be released from the jail. The Lord uses the conversion from water, blood, water, wine, and He also reminds us the importance of the firstborn, because He called all of us the church of firstborn. We will read few verses. Please give me some time. And now, this is the word that we read in Vessels of Stone. Let's read Numbers 8:17. Numbers 8:17. The Lord repeats in the chapter 8, for all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine. The Lord says, all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine. And He says, both man and beast, and on that day I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt. I sanctified them for myself. Why God is repeating this? What happened in the book of Exodus? Not once, not twice, several times in Psalm, in Revelation. It keep on being repeated. What the Lord did to the firstborn of Egypt and called all of them firstborn of mine. And let's read this. Psalm chapter 89, verse 27. Psalm chapter 89, verse 27. 89, verse 27. I read. And also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Amen. Higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 18.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist.
Amen. Please pray, brother. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Through faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. What? Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is Hebrews 11, 28. Now, brother, please read Revelation 1, 5.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now you heard what the brother read. Now let me read one verse before we close. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you see what the Lord is doing in our life? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn. May the Lord speak to our hearts as we continue next week. What Pharaoh did to the people and what God did to Pharaoh. The 10 commandments God gave to Moses and the 10 plagues God sent to Pharaoh started with blood, ends with firstborn. And our life begins with firstborn and ends with him. And the rest of what Jesus said, and we know that he is the rest. Amen. And all the covenant that we talked about all these weeks, the Lord called us children of the prophets. He puts back everything to his prophets. And he says, and of the covenant, he draws a circle. Which covenant it is? The new covenant. The only covenant. Himself, the firstborn. The image of him. Lord draws a circle. Children of the prophets start with Abraham and complete with Jesus and of the covenant. Amen. May the Lord speak to our heart as we listen to the words blood, vessels of wood, vessels of stone, and what the Lord did in the life of Peter and what the lame, the one who was healed, did to the life of Peter. It represents the resonation of God's agape love among his children. Amen. Let's all rise as we pray and close. May the Lord bless us to continue next week. Our Lord, Lord, how faithful you are, O Lord, in our lives. How merciful, Lord, you are in our lives. And how graceful, Lord, you showed your face to all of us, that we were all plagued by the darkness, plagued by our own self. But Lord, you came and you delivered all of us, that we may all die to sin, to be the church of the firstborn, to be the vessels of thy life, the water, the everlasting fountain, to be the stones built upon thee, O Lord, the foundation that standeth for sure. Lord, may you bless us. May you help us to stand firm in thy word. May you speak to our hearts concerning what we are rejoicing in the lives of Aaron, Moses, even the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and Lord Peter and John, and the rulers of the people. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words are speaking life. It brings deliverance to our souls. It redeems us. It renews us. It revives us to stand on the top of the mountain to receive thy blessing, thy strength, so that we will go back to valley again and to come back stronger ever than before, to be wiser ever than before. Because, O Lord, we fulfill thy will in our valleys, O Lord. Because on the mountain it is you who do all things. In the valley you want us to be thy creation, who submit to you, who heed to your voice, who surrender everything that we have got to glorify thy name. Lord, may you bless us. May you be with us. May your presence lead us. Speak to our hearts, O Lord. We thank you for everything. We bless your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear brethren. Shalom.